7 out of 10 Americans experiences significant stress, a little bit of anxiety, stress, fear over the topic of finances.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio, friends. This is your host, Joshua Halleck. I'm here with Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church, Mark Jobe. Pastor Mark, you're in a series about finances. It's called In God We Trust, Breaking the Scarcity Conspiracy. Tell us about this message. Tell us about why you're so excited to bring this to Chicagoland.
A lot of people are stressed out about finances.
Yes, they are.
And in fact, the American Psychological Association did a survey and discovered that at least 75% of us, Joshua, that's 75%, that's a lot of people, say that money is a significant cause of stress. And so today we're going to be looking at how to have financial peace in our lives. And there's some basic principles that are pointed to by the Word of God that when we get these principles in place, it can begin to relieve our stress. Now, I want to say this, Joshua. This is not going to happen overnight. Some of you have taken years to get in the hole that you're in, and it may take years to get out of that hole and put into practice good habits. But I'm convinced that if you put a plan into practice based on the Word of God, that it's God's will that you not be stressed over your finances.
That's good. I read today a Jim Rohn quote. He said, "You can't change your destination overnight, but you can change your direction overnight."
Mm-hmm.
And we're praying for you, friends, as you hear the Word of God today, that for somebody, this would be a change in direction, and there would be a whole new destination that you're walking into because of God's guidance through His Word. This message is titled Financial Peace and the Scarcity Myth, and our theme verse is Matthew 6:33.
I read recently, there was a study done by the American Psychological Association in the latest Stress in America survey, and it stated that 75% of us, of Americans, is significantly stressed over finances. That 7 out of 10 Americans experiences significant stress, a little bit of anxiety, stress, fear over the topic of finances. Another survey, the Rasmussen reports, said that 43% of those surveyed had an intense argument with a friend or family member about economic conditions. 55% say they had a heated debate about who is to blame for the state of the economy and how it should be fixed. I mean, this is a topic that affects all of us, especially in the kind of days that we live in today. This series has to do with breaking the scarcity mentality or the scarcity myth. And I talked to you a little bit about it last week, that many of us approach life with a scarcity mentality. That mentality, in essence, says this. Those of you that are listening over audio only, I have a pie in my hand. It happens to be a pumpkin pie. And many of us view the economy and life like this. We believe that life and the economy has just a certain amount to go around. And if someone gets a big piece of the pie, that means that my piece of the pie is smaller. And so we're really concerned about how the pie is divvied up, because if someone gets this nice big piece, that means that there's less of the pie for me. So therefore, when I have a scarcity mentality and I view the world that way, I can't rejoice when other people succeed, because other people's success means my failure. I can't rejoice when other people get ahead, because in my mind it's, well, if they're getting ahead, that means I'm getting behind. I can't really release and give freely, because I have a mentality that if I give or release, that there will not be enough for me. I find myself comparing and competing with a lot of people because I believe that the resources are limited and that there's only a certain amount. And if I don't get my resources, then I'm going to be left out behind. That's a scarcity mentality. And I want to break that scarcity mentality by reminding you that God is unlimited in his resources. And that if you have the right mentality towards the world and how it works, when other people succeed, you can rejoice. That instead of comparison, there should be encouragement. That instead of a scarcity, let me hold on to what I have, I should have a mentality that allows me to release and sow into things that are important to my life. That instead of fear, there should be a sense of faith. Now, I say this all not to make you be unwise or foolish with your spending and your money, but to give you the right perspective towards life. I believe that there is enough to go around for every individual, that there is enough for you and the person beside you, that you're not in a huge competition, that you're not in a comparison mentality, that if you approach life the right way, when other people succeed, you can rejoice, but you can understand that the scarcity mentality pits us against other people. So how do we break away from that, and how do we really embrace God's perspective on this? Well, I'm going to give you just a couple thoughts today about how to get financial peace. If you're taking notes, I have five simple steps I want you to take, and I'm going to be jumping around a few different verses today. But if you're taking notes and you say, I'm one of those people that are stressed out over finances and I really need to get a grip on this, I want to give you just five simple steps that you can start to take today. In fact, I believe there's some steps that you can take right now and some decisions that you can make right now, even before you leave this auditorium, that affect your finances. Number one. Determine my priorities. You need to determine what your priorities are. You see, a lot of people live life without really determining what their priorities are. And so if you have no priorities, then you will have no plan. Because whatever comes up will be as important as the next thing. If you have no goals, you probably won't. You won't hit in the right direction. Priorities mean that there are certain things that are more important than others. That there is a scale of importance that you put in your life. That's priorities. Have you ever talked to a child or someone that you're trying to kind of coach a little bit, and you say, you need to get your priorities straight. In other words, what we're telling them is you're letting insignificant things become the important things in life. And so a wife may tell her husband, you need to get your priorities straight. Your family's important and you're neglecting it. A parent may tell their teenager, hey, you need to get your priorities straight because Call of Duty is not more important than geometry. When it comes to finances, we also need to get our priorities straight as well. We need to determine what is it that you really want in your finances and what are your priorities seriously. Well, I love this verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It's a great priorities verse. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God, or his kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I love what it says, but seek first. In other words, it needs to be the top priority. Another translation says, God will give you all you need day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So as you think through your priorities, when it comes to your finances, here's a couple thoughts that come to my mind. Some of the priorities that I have thought of as it comes to my finances and trying to align it with Scripture is, number one, I want to put God first and use my resources for good. I've determined, and my wife and I have determined, that we want to put God first in everything. And not just in our finances, but in our marriage, in our life. That God needs to take central place. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've come to the same conclusion. That God needs to be number one. And so you need to determine, how do I put the kingdom of God first? He needs to be number one. So what does it mean to be number one? It means that if God is number one in my resources, in my finances, then I'm asking myself, God, how do you want me to manage what you have given to me? Number two, I want to take care of my wife and my family well. I want to make sure, first of all, that God is my priority. I want to make sure that I can take care of my family and my kids. I want to walk in freedom and avoid the stress of debt or chains. I want to plan for the future and avoid being a burden. Those are simple priorities, but they give you a little bit of a direction as you flow forward. I've been teaching you for a long time when it comes to finances, the principle that we call the 10-10-80 principle. That's a strategy to be able to maintain your priorities. Listen, if you have no priorities, then you'll spend without thinking, you won't save, you won't tithe, you'll get in debt, you'll buy things that you don't need with money that you don't have to impress people that you don't like, you'll compare yourself with other people on a regular basis. You will have no cushion in your life, so every extra expense becomes a crisis. You will begin to charge in credit cards at 18% interest that if you that will take you years and years to pay off, and you'll pay double of what you borrowed because you are paying an enormous amount of interest and not paying off your credit card debt every month. And you'll find yourself losing your peace, losing your joy, bound as a slave to have to work hours that you don't really want to work because you've lost your priorities. And I believe this is huge, that we need to get a grip on this area, or this area will get a grip on us.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to our message called Financial Peace and the Scarcity Myth. It's part of our series called In God We Trust. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this entire message, as well as information regarding New Life Community Church and Pastor Mark. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Exodus tonight, and our message is called Financial Peace and the Scarcity Myth.
You begin to determine your priorities. I started practicing a long time ago, and I've started to teach you a strategy to get your priorities in on target. The give 10, save 10, and live on 80. Give 10 means that if God is my priority, then I need to make sure that I am giving the first fruits of what God has given me back to Him. That I'm giving to the things of God and the people of God, and I'm being generous outside of this church, not only in the church, but that I give a portion back. The moment that we stop giving is the moment that we have lost our sense of priorities. If right now you live your life and you say, Pastor, I can't afford to give, I can't afford to share, I can't afford to help anybody out, I can't afford to give anything to a missions trip, I can't afford to give anything in church, that I want to say something, then God wants to break you out of that. Because you're not in a place where God wants you to live. The moment that we have nothing to give is the moment that we've bought into a scarcity mentality. And the less we are able to give, the deeper that scarcity mentality becomes embedded in our life. So, you give 10. You save 10. I believe that everybody needs to save. In fact, right now, if you don't have a savings account or some place that you're saving, you say, well, I got a mattress. Okay, whatever. It works for you. But you need to be saving somewhere. Because here's what happens. Listen, if you have no savings account, if you have no place that you're setting money aside, then you will go in debt. How do I know that? Because life has unexpected issues. If you're living from paycheck to paycheck and you never set anything aside, guess what? Cars break down. Washer machines start making funny noises and come to a screeching halt. Refrigerators go out. The water pumps stop. Things come up. People get sick. So if you have no savings account, you are setting yourself up for a crisis, because the moment a crisis comes in your life, then boom, suddenly you have nothing to pay with what comes up in your life. Tell the person beside you, crisis happen. Go ahead. Tell the person beside you, things break down. Okay, just want you to know that. It's just part of life. It's not like God's against you that because your washer machine broke down. It's that things happen. And so you give 10, you save 10, and you live on 80. And by that I mean that you begin to budget yourself and say, I'm going to constrain myself to try to live within a budget so that I live inside the 80 principle. And I'll talk a little bit to you about how to get started on that in a moment. Proverbs 21:5 says, carefully planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. So you have to plan if this is going to work. Number two, decide to get out of debt. So number one, determine your priorities. Number two, decide to get out of debt. And I know you're tired of hearing me say this. You've been through a few financial series. You've heard me say, get out of debt, get out of debt, get out of debt. And it's so important. I say it often because I really believe that one of the greatest issues that we experience in our country and in our culture is a debt mentality. I like what someone said. Debt is financial whining. I want it now. And so even though I can't afford it now, I buy it on credit. Our country, our government, our big industry has developed a culture of indebtedness. This hasn't always existed this way in America, and it doesn't exist in every part of the world. But we have developed a culture of indebtedness over the last 50 years or so, since the 1950s, and we live in more debt than we've ever lived before. This country's in trillions of dollars of debt. Our government keeps spending money that we don't have, hoping that the economy is going to turn around, trying to sustain a system that was created during healthy economy, yet we're struggling to find out. No one wants to cut anything, and so we've gone into debt. The debt continues to accumulate. If you read The Economist, they are severely concerned about what may happen in the future generations unless something is drastically done about our propensity to debt. Debt, in essence, is saying, I like something, I want something, I don't have the money to pay for it, so I will pay it later. And so I'll put it on credit. And how about it? Do you realize? Okay, let me tell you this. Banks are not non-for-profit organizations. I know some of you, you'd be surprised by it now. I've had these conversations with my children. Dad, why do they give money? Why do banks just loan people money out? You know, when you're small, you go to a bank and, you know, you put a card in there, they see it push out money, and they all say, hey, I really like banks. Man, they're some of the most generous people on the face of this earth. They give you money. Well, of course you know this, but a bank is a business. Banks are businesses. They're not non-for-profits. The reason that they loan you money is that they loan you money because they're making money off your money. And they may give you interest, but they have figured out ways of making more interest off of your interest. And so a bank charges you fees. A bank charges you late charges, checking charges. They charge for the services that they render because they are making money off of you. They loan you money because in the long term, if you're buying a car, buying a house, they make a lot of money off the money that they loan you. The whole concept and principle behind the idea of debt is that oftentimes for the 90s, and the first part of this decade, we were basically under this assumption that our economy was a boom economy, that every generation was going to live better than the previous generation, and that all you had to do was put it on credit and that you could pay it off. We got so much on credit, so much in debt, so over the hill in our buying of real estate and cars and other appliances that it came to a halt, and we realized that no longer could we pay for it. So that unleashed a huge catastrophe in this nation, in which the amount of foreclosures, of bankruptcies in 2008 just escalated. Why? Because of a mentality of debt. Now, I want to tell you something. Listen to me well. Look up at me. This is huge. God is anti-debt. Let me say that again. Look up at me. God is anti-debt in every area of our life. The greatest debt that you and I had was we had the debt of sin upon us that no one could pay. And God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross and pay a debt that we could not pay because we were debtors. The whole essence of the gospel is the liberation from debt, spiritual debt. But it applies to every other area of our life as well, that God is anti-debt because debt makes people slaves. And God wants us to walk in liberty, not in slavery. You can read all through the Bible and you'll find a lot of verses on how to be set free of debt. Romans chapter 13 verse 8 says, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe revenue, then revenues. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love each other, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Now, I understand that there are certain things that obviously you can't buy in cash, primarily your house. Most other things in life you can buy if you save up for them and don't put it on credit. You say, what about our car? Well, I was just at the auto show yesterday. Never seen so many expensive cars in all my life. Saw some cars worth $230,000. Like, whoa. Of course, my 13-year-old Grant, that's the one that he liked right away. Dad, I like this one. It's the McLarens, the Maseratis. And the thing about a car is this. There's something just exciting about a brand new car, isn't it? Set in it, smells new. How many of you know the smell of a new car? It's like, ooh, this smells new. They even sell air fresheners called new car. So you get in your 130,000 beat up rusty car, but the air freshener, man, smells new. But here's the thing about a new car. Listen, I've never had a brand new car in my life. Out of strategy. Oh, there's been times when I could buy a brand new car. But I've chosen not to buy a brand new car. Because what I understand is the moment that you drive that car off the lot, it goes down about $10,000. The moment you drive it off the lot, the moment, if you drove it 3 days and decided to return it, they would say, hey, we'll buy it back for about $10,000, $12,000 cheaper than what we sold it to you. Hold on, what's up with that?
Well, that was the first half of our message called Financial Peace and the Scarcity Myth. Join us again on Monday for the second half of this message. It is from our series called In God We Trust. Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago, and if you enjoyed tonight's message, we invite you to download for free our Straight Talk app. You can find it at Pastor Mark's website, www.pastormarkjobe.com. That's pastormarkjobe.com, and there you can find out more about Pastor Mark, New Life's ministries, and there is also a Bible reading app to help you in the Word this year. We hope that you've enjoyed tonight's broadcast. We thank you so much for listening. On behalf of Pastor Mark, Josh, myself, and our Straight Talk team, have a great weekend, and God bless.